Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
But thou whose name alone is Jehovah, somebody say Jehovah, art the most high. Somebody say the highest over all the earth. You may be seated. It's all in the name. Just nudge your neighbor and tell them it's all in the name. There is power in the name of Jesus. Everything you need is found in Jesus. There used to be billboards, and I'll see them once in a while, usually in Houston or Dallas, and it would just say, Jesus is the answer. And the smart aleck would say, well, what's the question? Doesn't matter what the question is. Jesus is always the answer. Doesn't matter what trouble you're going through. Jesus is always the answer. We as believers must not only claim that name, not only fall in love with that name, we must be a dispenser of that name freely and frequently. We must not use that name as a curse word. We must not use that name in a fit of rage or when we lock our keys in the car. Anytime we call on the name of Jesus, realize this, all of heaven shifts and pivots to look to you and your situation. I'm glad that when I call on the name of Jesus, just like the word of God says, I am saved. It is that name that brings us into the presence of God. It is that name whereby we are saved, which means eternity is found in the name of Jesus. Everything we need is found in Jesus. I found it to be true that whatever you call something, that's what it is or that's what it will become. Last week we talked about it is what it is a phrase that you need to strike from your life. Because for you to say it is what it is means that you've given up. You've thrown in the towel in that situation. That's what it's always going to be. But it is not it is what it is. Faith says, this is what I see, but this is not what it is. I will say it is what I call it to be. So we're in this series on Jehovah. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament. Last week we started with the first of seven, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. When the questions come at you and they are deafening, just like they did with Abraham when God required him to go to the mount and sacrifice his son. He never did ask the question why. The text doesn't even tell us that he contemplated whether he should go or not, but when God spoke to him and said, this is the plan, I believe that Abraham packed up everything he needed along with Isaac, and he made his way to the mountain. But when he got to the mountain, the Bible says that God provided a ram in the thicket. I don't know what God has called you to sacrifice, but I do know this. If he called you to sacrifice it, God will make sure that you have everything you need. And if he requests something that you don't have, look around you. God is going to bring it to you. Why? Because God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. Our second Jehovah name is Jehovah Shammah. That means that God is present. The Lord your God is present. How many of you are glad that God doesn't live just at Living Way Church? How many of you are glad that this morning when you woke up, God was there? This morning when you fired up your car, God rode shotgun with you. When you walked in the house, not only was God here to meet you, God followed in behind you, and he walked in side by side. I'm so glad that God is with me during the good times. When I'm able, when you're able to testify of what God has done, of testimonies like the young woman shared that I'm no longer homeless. And what I love about God is God is with her in her new home. But what I really love about God is that God was with her in the homeless shelter. I love that God is with her now that she is sober after 11 months. But I love the fact that even when she wasn't sober, God was still there. I am here to announce to you that God will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. He was with you in the crack house, and now he's with you
in the church house. He was with you when you were depressed and suicidal, and he's with you when you have joy unspeakable. He was with you under the Trump administration, and he's with you under the Biden administration. I am here to tell you, you serve a God that is everywhere. Everywhere you need him to be, that is where God is. And if I were you, I'd throw both hands up right now and say, thank you, Jehovah Shammah, for being with me everywhere I go. Ezekiel 48, verse 35 is the only time that Jehovah Shammah is used in the Word of God. It says, the distance all around will be 18,000 cubits. And they're talking about the city. Ezekiel is seeing a vision into the future. And the name of that city from that time on will be Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Somebody say, the Lord is there. This is the only place in the Old Testament where Jehovah Shammah is used. Ezekiel's vision and declaration of Jehovah Shammah was to encourage the captives after exile. They are still not back to where God had called them to be. They were still behind where God had called them to be. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, whether you're in the room or online, or perhaps 10 years from now you're watching the archive sermon, but I am here to tell you, I don't care how far out of the will of God you are, there is a city, there is a place that God is still taking you towards. You are not a lost cause. You are not too far off track. Doesn't matter what you did last night, last month, or the last decade, God shed his only son, who shed his only blood so that you could be covered with that blood, so that when you need him, God would be your Shammah. He would show up there. So his declaration of Jehovah Shammah was to encourage the captives before they made it to that city, after their exile, after their return, and they had started making their way, that they should have a manifestation of God's presence. Church, can I encourage you? Living Ways should not be the only time during the week that you have a manifestation of God's presence. And I love Living Way, because Living Way is one of the few churches in San Antonio that if you come to a worship service, you can actually see God manifesting in this room. You see people start shaking. You know, some people lift their hand and then you just see it. You have those people that while they're worshiping, they quit speaking English, and it just starts being groanings. Woo! You see people laughing. You see people weeping. You see people on their knees worshiping. You see people fall out during these altar calls. You say, are you pushing them down? I'm not one of those guys. If God pushes you down, God pushes you down. I will not. Because I believe if God pushes you down, you won't get hurt. If I do, you might get hurt. I've been to some churches where those pastors like pushing people down because it makes them feel better. And I don't stand, when I go to the altar, I got to stand like this. We're one of those churches, you might see somebody fall out and it shouldn't scare you, but you should be able to walk away saying, wow, the presence, manifested presence of God is here. I love Sundays at Living Way, but can I encourage you, dear believer, that this is not the only time that you should have a manifested presence of God. You should have it at your kitchen table. You should have it at your job. You should have it in the break room. We're taking 10 minutes between appointments. You should always have access to the manifested presence of God. You show me a believer who has grown cold, and I will show you a believer who has depended on Living Way at 11 o'clock on Sunday to step into the presence of God. But I am here to tell you, I am not that person. Most of you are not those people. We don't step into the presence on Sundays at 11 and step out on Sundays at 12:30. I brought him with me. I'll take him home. I brought him with me. I'll take him to work. Wherever I go, he goes. Wherever he goes, I go. Somebody say Shammah. I'll see some of you almost speaking in tongues already. Holy. They will not have to ask. The reason he says Jehovah Shammah, speaking of a city that God will be there. The next generation will not have to ask as their fathers did, is the Lord among us? Man, that's powerful.
Ezekiel in the last statement of his prophetic book. In this chapter 48, Bible history tells us that chapter 48 was written 14 years after chapter 47. Before Ezekiel could die, he said, this is what I need to show you. This is what I need to tell you. And this should bless some grandmas and grandpas in this room. This should bless some mothers and fathers of faith in this room, that there is a generation that is being raised up that is not going to ask how it used to be. They're not going to talk about miracles from 50 years ago and 20 years ago. But we are that people who our children are going to see the dead raised back to life. That we are that generation that our children and our children's children is not going to ask the question, is God here? They're going to know that Jehovah Shammah in Jesus Christ, that wherever I need him to be, he is there in Jesus' name. They'll never have to ask, is the Lord among us or is he not? For they shall see and say that he is with them from a place of experience and truth. One of the dangerous things that we have going on in our world today is regurgitating truth that we've heard and not experienced. You know why I know that's true? Because on your Twitter feed, on your Facebook feed, on your Instagram feed, we got a lot of sharing what other people are saying. When your friends see that, they don't really care what some pastor in Seattle, Washington says. They don't know that pastor. They don't go to his church. They don't go to a church. But when you say it, and they work two cubicles down from you, and your friends on social media, now they say, here is somebody that is not just saying what they've heard. They are saying a truth that they have experienced. So when I say that God, Jehovah Shammah, that God is present, that God is here, that God is everywhere I am and I'm everywhere that he is, I am not speaking something that I've heard about or seen in someone else. I am telling you, this is how we live as believers of Jesus Christ. Jehovah Shammah is the name given to the city in Ezekiel's vision. Jehovah Shammah are the final words of the book of Ezekiel. Jehovah Shammah is therefore understood not merely as a name of God or an assertion of who God is in that moment, but remember, it's a prophetic utterance. It is not just talking about the name of God, not just talking about who God is in that moment, but Ezekiel is telling us a description of a future reality. I love this. When you say Jesus, it encompasses Jehovah Shammah. When you say Jehovah Shammah, not only are you saying who God is, you're saying where God is. He was there, he's here, and as Ezekiel said, he'll be there. That is where he is. There is where he is. You say where? There, wherever you need him to be. You point me a place, and I'll tell you God's there. You show me a place, and I'll tell you God's there. In the loneliest recesses of your mind, God is there. In the hospital room when nobody could come in to see you during COVID, God was there. In the courtroom when it seems like everybody's against you, God is there. When you are sitting on your couch crying crocodile tears because of the pain and the process that you're going through, God is there. He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Jehovah Shammah, God is there. When you say that name, not only are you bringing Jesus there to where you are bringing Jesus there to where you will be. When I say Jehovah Shammah, not only am I bringing him to November of 2021, I'm bringing him to December 2021. He is already where I am headed. He has already beat me to the spot. He is already in 2022 preparing things, saying, oh, I can't wait for my believer, my son, my daughter to get there. Some of you are waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm not waiting for the other shoe to drop. I know God has already shown up there. And doesn't matter what happens there, because God is there. And my God is bigger than anything else that happens there. The book of Ezekiel gives us a prophetic view of what the new temple will look like. 1 Corinthians 19, verse 20 says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He owns it all. He bought you with the blood of his only son. See, wherever I go as a Holy Ghost-filled New Testament believer, everywhere I go, I carry the Holy Spirit with me. That is why I don't react like the world reacts. That's why I don't act like other people act. That's why I'm never asking God, "Where are you?" Why? Because where I am, he is, and where he is, I am. Jehovah Shema is where I want to be and where you should be too. Visa has made billions of dollars off of their slogan, "Everywhere you want to be." Better than Visa is Jehovah Shema. Psalm 23, verse 4, David said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." God was on the mountaintop. God is in the valley. I don't know where your "there" is. I don't know where your "where" is. But I do know this, God is there. Jehovah Shema, God is there. You say, why do you keep saying "there"? I love, like the A-team, I love when a plan falls together. I love when the word of God works together. Psalm 139, verse 8, "If I descend up into heaven, thou art there. But if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." Oh, you and I serve a good God. He's with us during the heavenly times. He is with us when there's hell on earth. David said, even when I'm the cause of hell, when I make my own bed in hell, guess who's sitting at the foot of that bed saying, "Hey, you ready to go back to heavenly places? We got to bounce out of here." Wherever you're there is, God is there. Our next Jehovah is Jehovah Shalom. God is peace. Every service I've been in, whether it's at Living Way, Wednesday, Sunday, Catalyst Next Door, whether it's places I've preached at, whether it is conferences I've been to over the last 2 or 3 years, I think the word peace has been mentioned at least one time in every one of those services. Because peace is now an elusive thing for many. COVID robbed people of peace. The political climate has robbed people of peace. The social climate has definitely robbed people of peace. And I want to tell you that God is the God of peace. Jehovah Shalom is the God of peace. And we find out that Jesus declares, "I am the Prince of Peace." So when you say Jesus, Jehovah Shalom shows up as the God of peace. Judges chapter 6, verse 34. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah. Oh, that's Ophrah, not Oprah. Some of y'all calm down. Ophrah in the Abizarites. You've heard me say it many times. Peace is not the absence of pain, not the absence of problems or process, but the presence of Jesus. God whispered again in my preparation for this series, peace is not the absence of something, but the presence of someone. His name is Jesus. I don't know what you're going through, but I do know the devil would love to rob you of peace. I don't know what you're facing, but I know that the steal, kill, and destroying of the enemy, it happens to rob us of peace. People in this world are going through all kinds of issues that they're going through, and they're designed to rob us of peace. In the days of Gideon in Judges 6, the children of Israel were living in constant state of fear, constant state of panic and trepidation of the Midianites. Gideon, who was called to be a judge, was not immune from the mounting anxiety and stress that had swept over Israel. Even as Gideon, as great as Gideon goes on to be, check this out, Gideon was acting just like everybody else. He was living in such fear that when the angel of the Lord found him, he was threshing wheat, but he wasn't on the threshing floor. He was threshing wheat in the wine press. He was doing something that should be done in the wrong place, not on the threshing floor due to the Midianites, because the Midianites kept robbing all of the threshing floor of the wheat. Here's what fear causes. Fear causes disorder. Gideon is now operating in a place he was never supposed to be because he was scared. Can I encourage you, church, in 2021, going into 2022, that there is a peace that God only brings to us that is only found in Jesus Christ, and we cannot act in fear, because when we act in fear, we start doing things we normally wouldn't do. We start inhabiting places we normally wouldn't inhabit. We go places we normally wouldn't go. We start relationships with people that we normally wouldn't start them with, all because we are scared. We start panicking and running from thing to thing trying to find peace. I've got news for you. You will never find peace in a person other than Jesus. You will never find peace in a substance other than Jesus. I know it might get you high or numb for a half a day or a day. It might take your mind off of it, but when you come down from that high, you're going to hit a low of lows. But I am here to tell you that Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, the Prince of peace, Jesus Christ says, hey, come to me. Doesn't matter what's going on around you. I'm going to give you a peace in you that allows you to walk boldly through anything you will ever face. Somebody say Jehovah Shalom. He was fearful of the attack, worried about the safety of his family, of all of the Israelites. Just like Gideon, they were so scared that they left their houses, Judges 6:2 says. They lived in the mountains and in caves and strongholds. They were hiding. Let me tell you, if you're hiding from the enemy, you're not fulfilling purpose. You can't hide and serve at the same time. Well, I thought I'd get a better amen. In my notes, it says wait for applause right here. Just kidding. It doesn't say that. But you can't hide and serve at the same time. And the only way that we get an open warehouse and that relationship with God is unimpeded and not severed is by serving and by loving and by walking and all of those things. That does not happen outside of peace. Does not happen outside of Jesus. Fear will cause you to hide. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon at Ophrah during the lowest time of his life, called him to lead Israel and deliver them from their tormentors. God will meet you where you are and call you to greater. You know why God calls us at the worst moments of our life? It's not the fact that that's the only time he talks to us, but usually the worst time of our life is when we're the most ready to hear him. This wasn't the first time God called Gideon. This wasn't the first time that God had, hey, son, you're going to be a leader. Hey, son, you're going to be a judge. You're going to be a leader of leaders, a leader of men. I'm going to cause you to bring deliverance to the nation of Israel. This wasn't the only time. This was the first time Gideon heard it. Because now he's in a position and his life is in so much shambles and void of peace that now he hears the voice of God. Can I tell you, dear child of God, God is always talking. We've just got to turn down the world and turn up the spirit and listen as the Spirit says. Let those that have an ear hear what the Spirit says. God will meet you where you are and call you to greater. In Gideon's greatest panic came God's greatest presence. In Gideon's greatest panic came God's greatest presence. God reminded him in Judges 6:12, I am with you now. He reminded him in Judges 6, verses 14 and 16, I will be with you in the battles that are in front of you. Then in Judges 6:23, he says, peace be to you, do not fear, you shall not die. Two promises that God shows and that Jehovah Shammah, it holds within that name. I am with you and I will be with you. Meaning there's never a place that you go that I will not go with you. Judges 6:23, and I love this. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. I've got three things that if you don't remember anything else I've said the last 15 or 20 minutes, I need you to write these three things down, take a picture of the screen, but get these in your spirit. Three things. Peace be unto you. That's what God's saying. Peace be unto you. Fear not. And then four words that have changed your life. Thou shalt not die. Gideon's having a pity party. God, you don't know who I am. I'm from the least tribe,
and I'm the least of my tribe. I am the worst of the worst. I'm not ready for this. I'm too young. Nobody knows my name. I'm scared. I'm panicking. I have no peace. And this is what God says, thou shalt not die. I don't know if this really happened, but in my mind, when God said that, Gideon said, oh, okay, if that's how we're rolling, then I'm ready to go. If I'm unstoppable and I can't die, where are the Midianites? I'll take them on all by myself. And that's about what he did, because fast forward this story, and Gideon, with 300 men, they take down thousands upon thousands of Midianites. I am here to tell you, with God on your side, you cannot fail. Peace be unto you. Get rid of fear. You're not going to die. You're going to live. Can I encourage you? Start the business. Can I encourage you? Listen, can I encourage you to do what God has called you to do? Don't use COVID as an excuse. Don't use a lack of resources as an excuse. Don't use your age, your gender, your color. None of that matters. All that matters is, have I found Jesus? Is he my peace? Has he spoken to me? And if he has, I am unstoppable. You are unstoppable. Peace be unto you. Fear not. Thou shalt not die. Turn to your neighbor. Tell him, peace be unto you. Fear not. Thou shalt not die. Overwhelmed by the confirmation of the Lord, Gideon built an altar at Ophrah, and he named it, the Lord is peace. He built it as a tribute and a reminder of the Lord's provision and promise of peace. I'm going to tell you, I love when God blows my mind, and I love when God shows me something new, because when you've been living for God as long as I have, and some of us have, and when you've been in this book as much as we have, you love the new stuff. Brother Warren, I'm sure every once in a while God just, boom, shows you something brand new. And I knew that Gideon was the author and called God for the first time Jehovah Shalom. I knew that he built an altar as a monument for generations to come, that there is a God that will go with you and there is a God that is peace. I knew all of that. But I thought he built the altar and called God that after the battle. I thought after tens of thousands of Midianites lay dead at the feet of 301 incredible faith-filled men, I thought after that they had a big party. They had a Friendsgiving, a Thanksgiving, and ate good and drank good and talked about all the things God had done. But that's not what happened. God shows up to a panicking Gideon and says, I'm with you and I will be with you. Have peace. Don't fear. You shall not die. Before Gideon ever goes to battle, before anyone knows who Gideon's name is, Gideon builds an altar and calls him Jehovah Shalom. You are my peace. I love the fact that God gives him peace before the battle, that God calms the storm before the battle. Here I was thinking Gideon was praising God after the fact, but Gideon was doing just what Pastor Becky wrote about. He was dancing in advance. God, if you give me peace, God, if I throw away fear, and you've declared that I cannot die, God, let me go ahead and build this monument, because I know no matter what happens from here on out, I win. The Midianites lose. I have a peace that makes me irrational. I have a peace that makes me irrational to the world. Aren't you scared? Not at all. What happens if gas goes to $10 a gallon? I'll pay it. You gonna dumb down? You gonna get rid of that big F-250 diesel truck? No, I'm not. I might buy a 350 just to kick the devil in the teeth. I might take the long way to work. You say, that's irrational. No, that's peace. I don't care what gas is. I'm not naive to the plight either. I'm not going to live. I've got too much that God has called me to. You've got too much that God has called you to worry about how you're going to make ends meet when it comes to that. You've got bigger fish to fry than your CPS bill. I know that's on your mind, but can I just pray that God would deliver you from that, that God would meet that need and move you on to bigger giants? Come on, the lions and all of those things, those are over. There's a Goliath standing between you and your destiny, and you need to have an irrational peace. That when you watch the news, you say, nope, that's not me. That's not my family. Oh, unemployment, I'm thankful I've got a job. God takes care of me. That's peace in the midst of
panic. You know why people died at that concert a few weeks ago? Panic. They panicked, and the people around them panicked. I'm going to share something that's going to hurt you to help you. You can get your peace in order, but unless you surround yourself with peace, you might get killed in their panic. You might get injured in their panic. Don't you bring that mess over here. Don't you bring that mess on me. My family's right. We're good right now. I've got my peace in order, but if you don't get yours in order, I can't let you run me over getting away from what you're scared of when I'm not scared of that. Why? Jehovah Shalom. That's why when you get a bad report from the doctor, you better be careful who you tell. Why? Because God will give you peace because he's your healer. But if you get around the wrong people, oh, man, didn't your dad die of that? Didn't your mom struggle with that? Oh, you know that's in our family line, and that's just something that we've always had to go through. Come on, Job. Those are the friends that are going to keep you broke, keep you sick, keep you messed up. But I'm here to tell you, you got to surround yourself with peace. Don't let anybody steal your peace. Don't let anybody tread on your peace. Don't let anybody bring their panic into your peace. You bring peace to their panic or they've got to go. Jehovah Shalom. Somebody say Jehovah Shalom. Gideon operated from peace and defeated all of the Midianites with the 300 valiant men. The third one, and I'll close with this. My God, I hit pause on the timer. This timer, it kills me every week, y'all. I forget to start it, or I paused it. I don't know what's going on. Let me see what time it is so I don't, I know y'all are, okay, we're good, we're good. I had one person say, take your time. All right, Jehovah Ra. Jehovah Ra, R-A-A-H. God is my shepherd. God is my shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 1 through 5. We'll take verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Come on, we've got to use this verse other than funeral, y'all. This can't be the Old Testament reading of your life. This cannot only be claimed in times of mourning and grief. This should be something that we wake up to and something we declare in joy. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Ra. He is my shepherd. When it says, I shall not want, it means that God is your provider. I love it. When I say Jesus, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Ra, it's all found in Jesus. And then we take it down further. Jehovah Ra, God is my shepherd. It means that God is my provider. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Oh, he's a guide. How many of you have ever been on a trip that you needed a guide for? When you get a guide, they're usually natives to that area because they know where you need to go, how long it's going to take. They know roads that they can cut through to avoid traffic. They know the best eating spots. They know the best vacationing spots, the best beaches. I remember on our honeymoon, Pastor Manny and I still remember him to this day. And he happened to be on TV. I caught him a few years ago. But he was our guide for the day, took us snorkeling and scuba diving, all that good stuff. And his name was I'll never forget Gary the guide. He was the best because he knew. He took us to beaches where we were the only ones there, all because we trusted in the guide. Can I tell you, there is only one shepherd of our life, and his name is Jesus Christ. There is no other guide, no other provider. Everybody else is a resource. He is our only source. But I'm telling you, the day that I said yes to Jesus, the day that I made him my Lord and my shepherd, and he became my guide, he helps me avoid a lot of traffic jams. He takes me to the best spots. He takes me to the places that I'm going to get the most fulfillment out of. Can I encourage you? Some of you will put somebody else or something else in that guide spot, but that is reserved for only one, and his name is Jesus. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He is a restorer. Jehovah Ra, my restoration. Restoration does not bring you back to what it was. It brings you back to what it's supposed to be. I say this all the time. If you take a 1963 Charger and you restore it, in 1963, you could probably buy that Charger brand new for $2,500. But if you restore that perfect condition in 2021, it would be worth tens of thousands of dollars. Restoration is not trying to get you back to where you were. Restoration is getting you to where God has called you to be, as God has called you to be. Remember this, God in heaven, when he created us in his image. When we are restored, is God hitting us back to factory settings. No longer are they born in sin, shaped in iniquity, but when they said yes to Jesus and were covered with the blood, he restored us back to factory settings. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's two takeaways from here. God is ever present. Isn't it amazing how Jesus encompasses all of Jehovah, and then Jehovah encompasses all of these great things, but all of these names of Jehovah, you start seeing them intertwined. Because God, Jehovah, Shammah, God is present, God is there. That brings Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. See, if God is there, I have peace. Now I find that Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd, that he is an ever-present. He is always Shammah. He is always there. It says he comforts me. He comforts me with his staff. He comforts me with his rod. Sometimes when you see that shepherd's staff with the hook, sometimes he is behind us and he is showing us where to go. But sometimes, like me, you're a little hard-headed and he has to use that hook to drag you somewhere, to snatch you back out of the enemy's plan, to snatch you back when you're out of the will of God. And that comforts me. Even when it hurts, it's comforting to know that I've got a God that will always bring me back no matter what is happening around me. Verse 5, thou preparest a table in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He is a preparer. He is preparing you. He is preparing there. He is preparing a place. He is preparing me for there. That is my future. He is preparing there for me so that when I get there, a prepared Brandon and a prepared place intersect. And though while all of this has happened, Jesus said, I'm going there to prepare a place for you so that when I come again, I will receive you unto myself so that where I am, you will be. There that Shammah is and there that Shalom is again. Can I encourage you that while you sit in November of 2021, God is preparing you. But God has already reached into 2022 and God is preparing there. And when a prepared you and a prepared there get together, watch out world, we're gonna make some noise for Jesus. And while all of this is happening, Jesus is still preparing there. You say, what's he doing up there? Well, the Bible says that every time you do something for God here, we are laying up or storing up treasures in heaven. Hey, better make that mansion a little bigger. They just got some more souls saved down here. Hey, they've been serving their community. There's a lot of things happening, and so God is preparing there. God is preparing us, and God is preparing the place that we will go. He is always preparing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God wants to be your shepherd, but we've got to quit fighting the shepherd's hand. God wants to lead us to green pastures, but we've got to quit fighting and complaining about the way he's taking us. God wants us to lead us beside still waters, but he wants us to quit complaining and putting our two cents about which lake we want to lay by. God wants to prepare a table. And listen, I don't care where he prepares it. You prepare it, I'll show up. Wherever you are, God, that's where I will be. I'm around livestock every day of my life. Every day of my life, I feed them. I water them. I doctor them. When they're sick, I provide shelter during storms. You know I love to do it because I'm still doing it after Great Snowmageddon. That one about did me in. Every 3 hours, breaking ice off the water trough. Going out, making sure everything was okay every 3 or 4 hours. What I found out, though, is that many times my horses or cows will fight me. And I'm their shepherd. They'll fight me on what I'm attempting to do in their life. And as a good horseman, farmer, rancher, as a good one, I'm never doing anything that will hurt them. I'm always taking them to greener pastures because they run out. Still waters because they run out.
taking them to quiet places. Hey, there's a storm coming, horse, that you don't know about. I'm going to put you in the barn. You go out there with a halter and lead rope, and they run away from you like you're the Texas Chainsaw Massacre man. And all I'm wanting to do is be that raw in their life. I'm talking to people that you've been running, and God's just trying to bless you. You've been fighting, and God's just trying to save you. And I use that word try. God doesn't try to do anything. But God is wanting to bless you. God is wanting to save. And we're treating him like he's some other God. God is saying, are you through hurting? Because I could doctor you up real good. Are you through being hungry? Because I can lead you to some green places. Are you thirsting? Because the water I give, you'll never thirst again. And in my mind, God preached to me all the time. I've got horses. They'll walk five steps. And I'm a fairly strong dude, but no match for a 1,200-pound animal. And I'm doing my best to beat the storm. And they just set in. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not following you. Jehovah rise in this building today. Jehovah Shalom is in this building today. Stand on your feet. Jehovah Shammah is in this building today. Jehovah Jireh is in this building today. He is present. He is peace. He is our shepherd. Quit fighting the hand that feeds you. Quit fighting the hand that leads you. Quit complaining because the medicine doesn't taste good. It's going to heal you. It's going to heal you. Quit complaining about the streets you're on when God's taking you a different way than you've ever been before to go to a place you've never been before. But the place you're headed is better than the one you left. Otherwise, God wouldn't be taking you there. God never takes you backwards. He always takes you forward. He never takes you lesser. He always takes you to greater. That's Jehovah Ra. If you're following someone or something that doesn't do that for you, that's not Jehovah Ra. That is some other shepherd. That is a wolf. In shepherd's clothing, because my God always causes me to triumph. When I follow Jesus, doesn't mean my life is perfect. It means that I'm reminded Jehovah Shammah, he's there. Jehovah Shalom, he's my peace. Jehovah Ra, wherever you lead me, I will follow. If anything I've said today in these last 35 minutes means anything to you, I need you to leave your seat. I need you to come to this altar. And I've said many times before, this is not an admission of guilt.